Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Many, many years ago, I was reading in the commentary on the book of Genesis in the Interpreter's Bible, in the very early chapters. And I came across a phrase that has really kind of caught me all through my ministry. God created us to love people and use things. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, everything flipped upside down, and human beings, by nature now, desire to love things, use people. It takes Jesus dying on the cross to deliver us from that power so that once again, we as Christians can love people and use things. Trouble is, we come into this world with one heart that loves things, and when we become Christians into the power of the Father, Son, and Spirit, we love people. But both of those rummage around in our heart. And so sometimes we will be driven one way and sometimes another. None of us are free of being caught up in the things of this world. Doesn't mean that the Lord wants us to have a rotten life. He doesn't want us to give up everything and then go beg from other people who are working hard to be able to get money from them. There is no way to perfectly love God on our own. But we do love God perfectly. We love him perfectly because in Christ Jesus, our Lord's love for us works through us to others. And thus, this is not something where I hope someday maybe I can try to really be a Christian. That we are already. And we are at peace with God. And he works in our hearts, and he moves us and he guides us. And so as we hear the gospel, we simply need to say, this is the way the Lord is tugging me. This is the way he is giving me the draw and the encouragement to be at peace. First of all, with him. And then with myself. And then with others. He's the one who first has to settle our hearts. The text says just before this, that Jesus went on from there. Well, just before that is the story about the paralytic who was cured, lying flat on his back. And Jesus says to him, "My son, your sins are forgiven." No one can say that except God. And so Jesus must be a fake. That's what the leaders would have thought. Only God can forgive sin, and God's much more interested in punishing it than delivering people from it. He's going to keep people in line. And here's Jesus saying to this fella, his sins are forgiven. That's what was on his heart, really. And then he says, to show you that his sins are forgiven, rise and walk. And then he gets up and he walks. So the Gospels already tell us about wonderful things that our Lord does, and the trouble that it causes in the hearts of people who have a whole different way of thinking. Our old sinful nature lives with reward and punishment. If I'm good, God will bless me. And even Christians can get hooked up in that one. Just obey the Bible verses, and then God will give you everything you want. As if you don't have it now. And here's Jesus saying, follow me. This is not just get up and walk to your house. This is leaving one whole way of life and going to a different one. It astounds me more than anything else that he got up and he left. What power was in the voice of Jesus to draw him to something else? We can speculate all we want that he was ashamed of being a tax collector and that he was afraid that someone was going to hurt him or something like that. We have no way to know. But that word, that simple word from the Lord, come, follow me. And he gets up and he leaves his tax booth. And he goes to follow Jesus and become one of the disciples and become for us the one whose name is connected with the very first of the Gospels. So in the book of Luke, the fella in that place is named Levi. So some people think Levi was the family name and Matthew is his personal name. So here's Matthew, gets up and leaves. And what's the first thing he does? Invites Jesus over for dinner, along with all of his disciples. And his friends, other tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors and sinners. Well, the other side of the game were the Pharisees. They're usually not connected with finally getting Jesus put to death. They weren't a bad sort. But they said, we need to live good, honorable lives and follow all the rules and the laws that God gives. We need to make sure that we do everything right for God. And to really understand the story, you have to go all the way back in the Old Testament to stories like the story of Achan. Achan went into Jericho with all of the other people when the walls came tumbling down. And the people were told, everything from the city of Jericho, turn over to the religious leaders for God. This is God's portion, God's tax. Don't keep anything for yourself. But Achan, he saw this beautiful robe. A Paris original it was, I think. Thank you. That's all you get for jokes out of me. And he saw some money. And he took it. And he grabbed it, and he buried it under his tent. His family apparently knew it. The next town they go to, a little dinky town called Ai. And there they go to Ai, and 36 of the people of Israel were killed. None had been killed at Jericho, but now 36 people are killed. And the people complain and say, God's not a very good God. He doesn't keep his promises. And God says, no. Somebody has brought sin into the camp. And so they start drawing straws until they find Achan. And they stone Achan and his family. Put a big pile of rock up over him and his family. Don't bring wickedness into the camp. You might think, if you've been following at all, what they're trying to do with the Ebola virus in Liberia and Sierra Leone and Guinea. I believe Sierra Leone just closed its border for 3 days. Don't bring that sickness in here. Keep it away. Quarantine people. Quarantine the sin, or it'll get everybody. And so here are the Pharisees saying, this Jesus needs to be quarantined. He permits sin by loving sinners instead of stoning them. You might remember the story in the Gospel of John. Whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. He tells her, go and sin no more. He pulls Matthew away from the tax collection booth, says, you don't have to make your living this way. But go and sin no more. And then he's around all sorts of sinners. And so the Pharisees, they're going to believe if Jesus is allowed to go on, permitted to do what he's doing, forgiving some guy his sins, when he doesn't have any power to do that, poor Jesus couldn't help it. That's what God does, is forgive sin. He couldn't help coming to suffer and die for us. That's his nature. But they couldn't see that. All they could see is he wasn't following the rules. He was being kind to people you should shun and quarantine and get rid of. So here they're lying around. What they would do when they would recline at meals is they would be up on their left arm, I think it is, and they'd kind of sit in a circle with the food in the middle, and they would talk and they would visit. And here, tax collectors and sinners. Well, what's a sinner? Anybody but the Pharisees. Anybody but the people who were trying really hard every day to do everything just right so that God would bless them. How could you expect God ever to bless tax collectors and sinners or deliver them from their sin? Jesus' heart is so different that our old sinful nature can't stand it. Why would God forgive that person for doing that? They should be punished for what they have done. There was a Missouri Synod chaplain who brought the gospel and shared the gospel with the Nazi war criminals during the Nuremberg trials. And many of the Missouri Synod members who lost loved ones over in Germany were very offended that he would go and tell the gospel to such people as that. We've all got our list of people where we would say, they don't deserve the gospel. They don't deserve salvation. They don't measure up. And our Lord says, well, nobody does. Even we who have been Christians, many of us for most or all of our lives, are in this body of Christ by grace, not because we deserve it. And after a while, we can get used to thinking, well, I'm here because I'm really a good Christian. Our Lord says, no, every one of you are here because my life that I shed on the cross, my lifeblood that I shed on the cross has been poured into you, and I've made you at peace with me. So what does Jesus want to do? He wants to heal the hearts of people whose real problem is not disobeying the list as the Pharisees of the day put it together, but people who want nothing to do with the Almighty God and his mercy and his love. And so the problem is not really the tax collectors and the sinners. The problem is really those whose old sinful heart comes up with a list, you do this and then I'll love you, and if you don't, I'm going to shun you. Those are the ones who are in trouble. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Well, what is sacrifice? Sacrifice says we take something important, let's say a sheep or a goat, something that has life and value to us, and we say to God, I'm a sinner. Here, God, is something that's valuable to me. Instead of hurting me, would you please let the goat's death stand instead of me before you? And then to turn around and push your way through the crowd of those other rotten people who don't have that much to offer. Jesus says, God's heart does not look to see what someone's relation with him is all about. But God's heart says, what's the relationship you have with the people in the world around you? Love one another as I have loved you. Love each other and see each other as people for whom I needed to die and I died. See people whose real problem is that the brokenness of their life, which may look like everything is great, is really breaking their heart, and they need peace that this world cannot give. Love each other with my forgiving love. Sacrifice? Oh, I did all my sacrifices. I gave God everything he told me to give him so that I show that I'm righteous before him, with the big capital letter I all the way through it. versus, Lord, you love people that I ignore, that I drive by. We're not any of us going to be able to love everybody. We're not any of us going to be able to carry the burden of everyone. But the Lord has people in each of our lives whom we get to love and care for instead of walking by on the other side, to carry the burdens of their life, to be involved. And the Lord's been doing that in our lives. We're not trying to start being Christian. We've been that. But recognize it's not just what's us, but it's what God has made us to be. And our Lord really moves us to widen our circle, to love more than the ones just that we love now. When someone says, well, I'm too busy for anybody else. To say, wait a minute, if the Lord were too busy, we'd all be lost forever. He turns us to look at those who were classified as sinners because they didn't obey everything, or the tax collectors because they were in cahoots with the Romans, or anybody that in our mind we might say, that one I don't care about. If it's nothing more than, Lord, bring a blessing to that person. Help someone help that person because that one I may never see again. But also to have our hearts open when the Lord puts someone in our life where we can be involved with them and can love them. Instead of pushing back and pulling back and trying to stay away, that we get our lives more complicated through caring and loving and forgiving, as has happened to us. Go out into all the world, and as you go, tell everyone the good news of salvation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's how Matthew ends the story he tells us about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.